Are you a business owner looking for real advice and input? You're in the right place. From concept to launch to growth, funding, and beyond. Welcome to Startup Hustle with your hosts. One once sold a business for $150 million. The other, the author of Million Dollar Bedroom. Here are your hosts of Startup Hustle, Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson.
And we're back. Another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
How's it going?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
You look like you're blushing.
Well, I am. I'm a little embarrassed about the topic of today's subject, but anything to help you is on my radar when it comes to who we'll bring in to talk here on Startup Hustle.
So I know.
This is about you, Matt.
This is interesting territory today.
Yeah. Would you like me to introduce the guest?
Yeah.
Well, with us today, we have Kristen Thomas, who is the owner and head coach of Open the Doors Coaching.
Hi there.
Hi. Do I get to be the first person to say sex coach?
I think you just did.
Yeah. And you do more than that.
I do. I say I'm a relationship, dating, and sex coach. So I help people with their love lives.
Okay. Once again, Matt, like I said, anything we can do to...
Yeah.
No. So what is that? I mean, here I walk into the studio and you're talking to Matt and, you know, you were very open about that. You said, you know, I relationship, dating, and I'm a sex coach. And what is that?
So a lot of people are familiar with therapists, which really their intention is to kind of help you dive into the past. Coach is more about helping you decide where you're at now and where you want to be and helping you set goals to get there. So we're more forward focused.
Okay.
I do need her services.
Okay.
Yeah. I need to set some goals.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, is that part of it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, all right. So if you're seeking relationship, dating, or sex coaching, which I get it. Like these are things that all of those things are, well, first off, all right. In one of my books, I wrote about relationships and your inability to have successful communicative and understanding ones is a huge source of anxiety for people.
Absolutely.
And so obviously that's one of them. And then dating is changing. And I would imagine
Very much so.
And then sex is something that, well, that's why I'm blushing. You told me to not wear anything.
I know.
In here.
Yeah.
And here I am dressed like the emperor.
Yeah. And then we invite a beautiful lady in here about sex.
I know. It's embarrassing, but it's not. That's what I'm saying. I feel very comfortable with the topic. So what are some of the common things that you're helping people address? What can you help Matt Watson with?
Well, a lot of times what I'm doing is helping singles get their hearts ready for love again. So Matt Watson and I here have known each other for a very long time.
Yeah.
20 years.
He was over 20
plus years. More like 24. What?
I don't know, 23 years.
I sent you the invite, but it was Matt that he's actually suggested that a while ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, because this is interesting subject that you are a unique type of entrepreneur. And
thanks
for coming in. Okay, so you're helping people get back
on track. Get their hearts ready for love again,
So when you say get their hearts ready for love, they're coming out of a relationship or a marriage.
LTR, long-term relationship, whether that's a divorce or they were just dating, or even if they lost their spouse.
Okay.
I definitely have helped some widows and widowers.
Okay, sure.
So tell us, how did you come about doing this? Like, what was your, what gave you the idea to do this?
Well, I was a weight loss coach for a long time with Jenny Craig. And I do have a degree in psychology. So, the idea of counseling, coaching people was not something that was foreign to me.
Okay.
But years ago, I was in a job that just changed dramatically and I wasn't nearly as happy with it. So I was listening to a podcast actually on a road trip for work and it was from a sex coach.
Okay.
And that just kind of got me going down a path and I started doing some research and talked to my best friend. She's like, that's the best idea you've had in a long time. Like, that's exactly what you should be doing in life.
No one ever said that to me, but if I'd be like, okay, I get it. I mean, maybe we'll try that out.
Yeah.
So how do you go? And as we're going to get out the selfie stick. You can go to our Instagram page and see all of the selfie stick photos at Startup Hustle Podcast on Instagram. But so do you, and we were very clear that you're not a quote therapist or doctor,
right?
Because that's like a certification thing. Right. So
I want to eventually get my PhD and be a clinical sexologist one day, but.
So that's a thing.
Yes,
that's actually,
it is. Yes. Okay. You can get your master's and your PhD in sexology. And I actually got a business mentor through SCORE, and, actually, she passed away this year. Her name was Ann Whitty. She was a pretty well-known mentor here in town through SCORE.
I recognize the name.
Yeah, I miss her tremendously. But she was the one who really helped me get started a couple of years ago. I've been in business for about 2 years now. And, you know, I expressed some concerns to her about, you know, should I start this business now? Should I go to school, get some, you know, get my master's, do whatever? And she's like, you know what, Kristen, there's a lot of people out there that are coaching who have no experience whatsoever. Whereas you are a certified trainer and a coach for a long time. So you've got the credentials, you've got the background with your degree.
Well, I feel
just
like
get out there and do it and be very clear. Like, you're working on your certification to become a certified sex coach. I am taking courses right now. I'm currently finishing up a program online. She's like, just be clear with people. You're working on your certification. And if they have an issue with it, they won't work with you. They'll find somebody else. But
when you worked
had nobody
Jenny,
that.
When you worked at Jenny Craig, you help people lose weight, yeah. which makes people feel better about mm-hmm. themselves, which has a positive effect on 10,000 other things they yeah. do. And that feels good.
Yeah.
So was that part reflecting on that past? Did that give you confidence with being yeah. able to help people going forward?
Absolutely. Our name tag said we change lives. And okay. that has always stuck with me. That was my favorite part, was helping people make a complete shift in their lives. And hey, when you're helping women, which it was mostly women, obviously. When you're helping women lose weight, you're definitely talking about sex and love and relationships. And that's a lot more fun than talking about a weight loss program.
It's kind of like being a podcast host.
No. You end up talking about things that you never thought you'd talk about.
On some days, yes. Yes.
So do you see this business as a startup? Do you think of yourself as a startup?
Absolutely. I've got a big vision for myself and what I want to do with open doors coaching.
Yeah. Tell us about it. Yeah.
Please.
Well, I say that I'm working on building my empire.
All right. A sex empire?
A sexual empire, I suppose. I want to write a book. I want to do a TED Talk. I don't know if you're familiar with Esther Perel.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, so she's a modern Dr. Ruth, I would say.
Esther who?
Esther Perel.
Okay.
She's written a couple of books. She's an idol of mine, a heroine of mine. She wrote Mating Captivity and State of Affairs. And I a lot of my couples clients, I recommend her podcast. She's done an Audible series called Where Should We Begin? She's got TED Talks that have millions of views. She's fantastic. I want to be like her one day. I want to be a thought leader in the industry that's helping people open their hearts, their minds about sex and love and relationships, because there's a lot of stuff that's gone on in our society that's, I think, to the detriment
it's of not
relationships.
Sexy.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, we've seen tremendous changes in dating relationships over the last decade because of digital dating.
Yeah.
Social media. You know, there's a lot of stats out there that talk about cheating
about
and social
that,
media.
Yeah. I had a question about that because, yeah, all right, so I'm married twice,
mm-hmm.
both to women named Jill. Which is confusing for people that haven't seen you over 15-year gaps. But
hey, I was married to a Gregory Connor and a Gregory Taylor Connor and then a Jason Taylor Cowan. So that was confusing for people too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, it's been 10 years, but mm-hmm. even 10 years ago, I became single and I realized, wow, shit's changed. A lot. And that was when like match.com and certain things like that had just come out.
Now you mm-hmm. have to bumble around.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't even know. Like now it's just 10,000 times different, but mm-hmm. I would imagine that that's difficult for some people. It's easy for some people. It's difficult for others because for me, when I was, so I tried like match.com and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff with, I have a face made for radio. So I didn't, you know, I wasn't beautiful as, you know, some of the people were on Match and or whatever, but it was different. I realized how much different it was for men than it was for women and stuff like that. So do you encourage your clients to be involved with these online and technology-based apps?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about what's right for them. I can guide them either way, whether they're wanting to meet people in person or they're wanting to meet people online. And I think it's a good idea to not necessarily just focus on one. Some people do say, "Oh, I'm just dating online. I'm not trying to get out and meet people." Well, so I need to maybe keep your eyes open in your day-to-day interactions. It's not about going and sitting in a bar and waiting for somebody, but
I met my last wife on hotornot.com.
Oh, yeah. Way back in
now,
the
this
day.
Was like 15, well, 16, 17 years ago, uh-huh. right? Long time uh-huh. ago. But I don't know. Whenever I've tried these dating sites recently, they've been kind of useless. And I feel
which
like
ones it's, have you used?
Because, well, it's different for, I'm saying it's different for dudes.
I was gonna,
it's
that's what I was going to say.
And it yeah. depends upon
so
your
that's
platform.
What I was trying to yeah. say is I feel like the girls get like thousands of responses and then the guys get none.
That's because men are spammers.
I mean, it's not like you get thousands a day or thousands a week or even hundreds. I mean, I've done digital dating. Actually, I'm not really on anything right now, but I did it earlier this year and met somebody. So I'm just not on it right now. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was probably pretty easy for me. I'm an attractive woman. I had good pictures up. I used Hinge. Have you tried that app? Okay. So it's more of like a visual story of yourself and you answer like icebreaker questions rather than putting up a, oh, here's my bio and here's what I'm looking for. So I
just,
give that one a shot.
I just feel like,
or I could look at your profiles and help you with them. I do that too for people.
I just feel like a lot of the girls probably, especially the attractive girls, probably get overwhelmed. They get dozens of messages and likes and whatever a day.
Yeah.
But and, way, and don't respond to any of them.
So,
because it's overwhelming.
Kristen did mention that she can't help you. And if you're listening, go to openthedoorscoaching.com. to learn more about her. And we'll mention that again, but that she brings up a good point. I think that some people just don't, they have crappy profiles.
Yeah, they do. There's some really crappy profiles out there.
You know,
men and women alike.
They don't know how to solve
themselves. I've had single friends that over the last 10 years. And I never felt like I had a hard time meeting people. I have an abundance of confidence, which was helpful. Right.
And, mm-hmm, absolutely.
But I've known a lot of people confidence that didn't, but there's, it can also be dangerous, but at the same time, like talking to a lot of, you know, I'm 43, so I've seen a lot of people come in and out of marriages and, mm-hmm, and talk to them about different stuff. And then I was single at 33, which is an interesting age, you know, cause now you're dealing with a lot of people. A lot of the women had kids, some of them didn't. A lot of them had been married and they hadn't. And you start, mm-hmm, to have to make some interesting decisions. But talking to, you know, some of my friends, I'm like, you have to know exactly what you want. Like, if you're not going to date someone that has has children or multiple children, then you need to exclude that from the, not have these conversations and don't go down that rabbit hole because you're not pushing yourself towards what you need. Mm-hmm. So how do you tell people, what's some advice that you give to those that want to improve that online profile, or like, how do I make myself look awesome? How do we make Watson look better? We're going to improve you.
All right.
I'm off the market.
Well, first off, it's about being on the right platform. Okay. If you're just looking for hookups, you know, like Tinder, OkCupid, stuff like that. If you're looking for relationships, maybe something more like Hinge or Bumble or Match.com.
And by the way, for those of you watching the video, I'm not taking notes on what dating apps to sign up. I'm actually taking notes for the description of this. But
for show notes, show notes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it literally says show notes on the, well, kind of.
Right?
Maybe it doesn't. Anyway.
Don't waste your time with eHarmony.
Why?
It takes a lot of time to create your profile, and people on average only return back to the website 3 times. So you put all this work in. Mm. And then nobody goes back to it.
So what about these local services that do like It's Just Lunch or things like that? Have you ever seen anybody have success with
those
kinds of things?
I've never had any interactions with them, and none of my clients have ever used their services. But I think, you know, if people are up for it, why not use a matchmaker?
I've been signing you up for the Farmers Dating one.
Farmersonly.com.
Is that what it is? Have you been getting the emails?
No.
That's probably why you're not meeting anyone. We are in Kansas, bro. Yeah.
Right?
I've also heard that Kansas City is one of the worst places to date.
Statistically, Wichita, Kansas is the worst city in the country for singles.
So why?
Yeah, I was going to say, what are those metrics?
Okay, so that's from Aziz Ansari's Modern Romance, his book.
We're using Aziz Ansari as our data source here.
Okay, so his book, he worked with a data scientist. Okay, so we can talk about that whole situation if you like. However,
No, I just meant like he's a comedian.
Well, his book, he actually partnered up with somebody who was, they were looking at the numbers of this. So
okay.
The reason Wichita there was some science behind it. If I recall correctly, it was about a high number of churches. Okay. So a high religiosity, low number of bars.
Okay.
And like extracurricular activities. There's not a lot of like community things for people to go and do. So since there's nothing for people to get out and about other than church, yeah, dating scene's just not so hot.
I've also
there.
Been signing you up for Christian Mingle.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thought that was a good fit
for me.
Sorry, as Kristen is, wow. Yeah, it's a good thing you weren't drinking that lemonade because yeah. there would be all over the table. But I'm trying really to hard. Be helpful, Matt.
Just keep trying. Yeah, all of them.
I built a bot. It's just been submitting okay. you to dating sites over and over.
So yeah, it's about being on the right platform. But you also need to have good pictures. Okay. Right. And they need to be pictures of just you. Don't have like you and your friends.
Oh my God, those are the worst. You scroll through and you're like, okay, she's with somebody else. Who is she? I can't even figure out which.
Where is Waldo? Is what I call it. Yeah.
And then I think, oh, well, all those girls are cute. Okay, swipe right.
Right. Well, and that's the problem too, is maybe somebody's going to find your friend and your profile picture more attractive than you are.
Yeah.
So just don't do it. And yeah. Your friend also may not have consented to having their picture on a dating app. So let's talk about that as well. Privacy
yeah.
and consent.
Well, so you talk about privacy. So I went on a date, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, whatever it was, and met this girl. She had Googled me and figured out my whole life history. She figured it out. And I never told her. I never told her my last name. She figured it out.
Well, talk if you've got privacy. Anything linked like your Instagram or Twitter or anything like that, because a lot of the dating apps will link your Instagram and stuff. Like, don't link any social media to your dating app.
I think I mentioned to her that I host a podcast. And if you Google Matt Podcast,
yeah,
we show up.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've done it.
Your SEO is good, but
it's a little too good. Trust me. I think it was Matt Podcast Kansas.
Well, I mean,
or something, and then we were like the whole fresh page.
Yeah.
But let's be real. That is what it is.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a crazy thing though about like the privacy side of the dating part of it is trying to be protective of who you are.
Yeah.
But at the same time, trying to put yourself out there.
Hey, imagine what I do. You think it's easy to talk to someone and be like, "I'm a sex coach," and like, okay, cool. You're what? You know, I was single for 3 years before I'm seeing a few people. I'm in an open relationship, but my primary, like, you know, I found him online a few months ago. That's an interesting conversation the first time you're telling someone that you're a relationship, dating, and sex coach.
So I feel like we're working our way down the line here.
I'm easily Googleable too, you know.
You have a really common name, and so is Matt Watson. Like,
that's true.
I bet there's a lot of Kristen Thomases because there's a lot of Matt Watsons.
Okay, even in incognito mode, I still now am showing up. Like, I used to never show up in Google searches, and now I'm starting to show up.
If you want to be a personality, you're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
It's part comes with the territory, though.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's part of it. Like, there's, you know, I've known some, I know a lot of musicians, and some of them, I mean, have varying degrees of fame, but even like the guys in Humphreys McGee, like they've had a couple issues with like people like tracking them down that are a little unhinged a little bit. And I don't want to
the crazies.
Yeah. Well, they're not necessarily. Well, some of them were just the one I'm thinking about, I'm not going to get too far into, it's just a bit troubled, but you know, like they, you know, they handle that responsibly, but it's uncomfortable, you know, cause you don't feel secure or feel safe. I bet it's a lot different for women than it is for men in that regard. All right. So we're progressing here. Mm-hmm. So we have hypothetically now created a dating profile and
he's got good pictures with good lighting, showing face and full body. Show your style too.
And he went to openthedoorscoaching.com and contacted you to get this advice.
Yes.
You said, okay, I can't get that stupid picture of you by the pool with your shirt off. And you're like, dude, I don't even go to the gym. Don't use that one.
No,
that's not the right one,
man. I look better than like 98% of the guys in Kansas City.
Doesn't mean you should have your shirt off on the internet, bro. Okay.
No, he looks better than 98% of the people I've seen on dating apps.
I get it.
See? It worked.
Yeah.
I know.
Physique-wise, especially for our age.
Why aren't you replying to any of my online inquiries then?
Well, because you're a dude.
Oh. Well, all right. So now we're moving on. And let's say you meet someone through these apps or whatever. You know, what kind of advice are you going to give someone about? All right. So let me back up. I think that these dating apps give women a false sense of confidence.
Okay.
And I say that because, I've just known this through talking to you, they turn them into serial daters.
Yeah.
And they don't value.
It's the dozens of likes.
Yeah. Cause they all of a sudden, cause here's the thing. And I'm really candid. I'd be a good sex coach. Like I, as a male, I would, cause I'll just lay it on you. I'd be like, dude, don't do that. That's a bad idea. And some people want to dance around it. You have to be able to be really upfront with people, I would imagine, at your job.
Absolutely.
So what, one of the things that, you know, women don't understand is that there's a lot of dudes, they're probably swiping right on everyone. It's a numbers game for guys in mm-hmm. many cases. And that drives up the engagement numbers. And then some of these women I've been friends with over the years, I'm like, you're like a serial dater. You don't even care. Like they will find this one dumb little reason to discard someone that might've been a really good fit for them. And that's because there's nine more, whatever the fuck is.
There's hundreds more.
Smileys, thumbs up, winks. Well, that's what
I said.
Whatever.
I agree.
If you're a really cute girl, you get dozens and dozens of messages a day.
And it's sort of the reason those apps are so appealing is because of this like gamification of it.
Sure.
And then that's also what propels them to move into that serial dating.
So like I said, that kind of like false sense of confidence. And maybe that's not the right way to phrase
it is more of just like they're coming from a place of abundance. They're thinking that there's plenty out there. So why settle? Because so much of romantic love has been enforced into us to say, like, you need to find all these things for it to be perfect. And this person's got to fulfill all these aspects to be your partner. And if they don't meet one little thing, like they're out.
I think that part of it is that, you know, we all have flaws, a lot. Some of them I've known, they're like, oh, well, you know, he combs his hair to the left, not to the right. And I've got nine more people I could go on dates on. And I'm like, I mean, are you just trying to go on dates and get free dinner and free drinks every night and just like keep things interesting? Because if that's the case, just admit it to yourself. And that's fine. Do it.
Agreed. Yeah.
Do whatever makes you happy.
Do it.
But don't act like you're trying to soul search, find your soulmate.
Right.
You know, and then you're like, yeah, well, I don't like his fingernails are too short or whatever.
Or they find something before they even get to the date to rule them out. Yeah. I mean, yes, there's definitely some hard limits that maybe you just don't want to date someone that you disagree with fundamentally on some issues. Okay, get it. Especially like politically these days. Fine, whatever. However,
that's why the farming and the Christian Mingle side are perfect for you, bro.
Okay.
I have seen plenty of people just... they're not engaging in the right way through these dating apps. And then they're leaving it to be too much onto the dating apps. And then it's creating this like false sense of abundance. Studies have shown that people who do only online dating will go on a great date. They'll have a wonderful time. They'll feel a little connection. They'll go like, but there's got to be someone better out there. And they go home and they start swiping.
Right.
Versus people who date when they meet in person are much more likely to go like, you know, like having a connection with someone doesn't happen that often. I'm going to actually see where this goes. And they go on more dates with those people when they're meeting in person versus when they're digital dating. That's what I call it. And it is, I think, because the gamification, there are so many people out there.
Makes people seem disposable because there's a whole nother line of them.
Yeah, that was my entire point.
That's why I got away from dating online for like 2 years. I really just did it this last winter to try it out again.
Why they feel hurt? Because they got disposed at some point.
Exactly.
And that's why we move on. So now we've made this great profile.
It's
we went on a bunch of dates.
Cycle.
Yeah.
It really has.
Because it's like I said, it's that sense of that false sense of confidence or that disposability or whatever. All right. So now we're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. We're moving fast.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving fast.
Oh, I'm excited now.
For the relationship or this part?
For the sex coaching.
That was really bad timing on your delivery. You're like, I'm really excited for the sex coaching. Yeah.
No, it was perfect timing.
It may have been. It was
either
really bad or
really
good.
There's so much more to talk about when it comes to relationships, dating, and sex than just, you know, the online stuff. So, yeah, we can get to the relationship part, and then we can find out.
I want to hit on the things that is hit on the right term during the sex coaching episode, maybe. So I would like to stop and discuss the different things that you help people with. And some of that is, you know, getting you ready, getting you out there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, now, the goal, or at least I like to think, there's two goals here. Either people want to get laid or they want a partner,
right?
Like a long-term partner, mm-hmm. not just a short-term one. So, and then maybe there's a third objective, like in this new era, that's just like, hey, I need something to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
But so let's say we got into a relationship. So tell us about how you help people with that. Because that's got to just have.
That's such a broad question.
Well, let me frame it up with a specific question. So, I'm dating this girl. How do I figure out if she's the right type of person for me? How do I figure out who the right
broad question?
The right person for me.
I would first ask, do you really know what you want in a partner?
That's a great question.
Because if you don't know what you want, then you can't check to see if that person.
So, do you help people figure that out?
Yes, that's what I help people. Focus on what you want.
How do you figure that out?
Ask a lot of questions. Okay. Help them kind of create. Okay, so like in business, you create a client avatar, right? You're looking for their gender, their age, their median income, whatever. Okay, maybe we're going to leave off income on talking about a partner, but it's not a bad thing. You want to make sure they're employed probably. But create an avatar for the person that you would want to have as a partner. You know, are you wanting something that someone that's intelligent, someone that has kids or doesn't have kids? Maybe it's not so much about what kind of career that they have, but the fact that they have an education and they are providing for themselves. Yeah, they've got a purpose in life. Are they a happy person? Are you wanting someone that's already kind of like, we're in our 30s. It's a little late to be screwing around with younger people that don't have their shit figured out.
You guys are in your 30s. I'm in my 40s.
Okay,
I'm just going to throw myself under the age bus there.
But, you know.
Do you notice that's like the least excited I've sounded this whole episode?
Life when you're knocking on 40 is very different than, you know, when you're in your early 30s.
Well, that was my point earlier with being single in my early 30s. It was a blessing and a curse. Mm-hmm. And I'd been married for 3 or 4 years before that. And, you know, and I had to, you know, like that was honestly kind of a weird age too. I think mm-hmm. I was 31 or 32. And a lot of the people had just gotten married. They were just having kids. And now I'm single. Mm-hmm. So like, and then honestly, some of the people that were still single at my age weren't really the right kind of people for they yeah. were that for a reason.
Like you're single for a reason. Yeah.
All right. So
no one's wanted to keep you around for a reason.
So when I think about sales, like you just, what you just listed was a list of qualifiers. You're trying to qualify. You're interviewing someone basically. I mean, that's
you don't go out and buy something unless you know what you want to buy. You might go out and do some research. Sure, right. dating's kind of like doing the research, figuring out what you want. But then you've got to start
figuring out what
that
you
down.
Don't want is what I would say.
Well, but that's part of it. Sense. But that's a process
framework.
Of elimination. Man.
Yeah,
that's
you're figuring out
thing.
What you it's like. You date some girl and you're like, I don't like that, so I'm gonna avoid that again.
So then think about how to reframe that in a positive spin.
Have we had this conversation before?
Give me an example of a date you've been on recently and you saw something, you're like, I don't want that. Give me an example of that.
I mean, an easy example would be somebody who like smokes or something. But
true.
So here's a better example. Oh my God.
So instead of saying, I don't want a smoker, say, I want someone that is not a, like, just think about how to frame it positive. Like, ew, that's gross. Think of it more as like, I want someone that's a non-smoker versus I don't want someone that's a smoker. I want someone that is a non-smoker.
I see myself
twist.
With a tobacco-free individual.
There you go. It's a slight twist in just the language and how you frame it positively versus negatively. Give me another one.
Oh, my God.
Being positive?
Yeah, so that was a big one for me is being with somebody who's very positive. Wakes up every morning and is happy to be alive.
Doesn't sweat the small stuff.
Yes, just has a positive attitude about life.
I'm handing this account off to you at the end of this episode, by the way.
Yeah, I need some help.
Give me the password.
You don't need the password. There's no recovery or password or anything. Yeah.
Well, and saying it that way, you're saying I want someone that is positive versus I don't want someone that's negative.
Right.
Framing things in a positive way.
I have one sentence or one statement about relationships that I think is golden.
Okay.
You have to find someone that's willing to put up with your shit.
Yes.
Like if you don't, you're screwed. It's over. Like, and that, like my wife and I, like, look,
she puts up with a lot of shit.
Dude. I mean, at the same time, she does. So
she's an angel.
Yeah.
Would you put up with your own shit?
No.
No.
No. But my shit is
so then you better make sure you reward her handsomely putting up with that.
But here's the thing though. And I've had this discussion though. It's like, you know, and I try, the shit that you have to put up with me is just like, I'm busy. I'm a highly driven entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of energy, excitement, and sometimes confidence too. So Jill, if her eyes may fall out once from rolling them from the things that I say sometimes, you know, but that's part of me. And then I think, you know, but finding someone that's willing to put up with your shit is like at those moments, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner, and that doesn't carry a 9-to-5 schedule.
Right.
And before we got married, I was pretty emphatic about that. I said, look, I'm going to be honest with you. And she's younger than me. She's 11 years younger than me, maybe 12, close. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, I'm probably not going to change these particular things about me. This is like my personality. It's kind of burned in at this point.
Right.
But especially over the last few years too, I've also tried to be aware of it as well. And like, try to make sure, like she worked at at one of my businesses with me for 7 years. But I knew that wasn't what she wanted to do. She wanted to raise kids and have kids. Mm-hmm. So we made that happen. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. And you know what? That's a separate, really, really tough job. And Jill, I have a feeling this is the episode you will actually listen to. So I want to say that I love you and thank you, and that your job is, in fact, harder than mine, because it is. I can't even be alone with my kids for like, you have the same problem, Watson. Like, we're like, I'll get a message, be like, I love my kids, but man, oh, it's been 2 hours.
Like, oh, I love my kids.
I love my kids too, but our kids are young. Mm-hmm. I have a 2-year and a 4-year-old. When I left for work today, Caden was just laying on the floor with no pants on, crying. And I looked at my wife and I was like, good luck with all this. I'll see you at the baseball game.
So I this morning I went to get my 2-year-old out of his room, and he was laying on the floor reading books, butt naked.
Yeah.
He took all his clothes off and he was laying on the floor.
Did you also tell him to?
And then he told me that he pooped.
Did he tell you where he pooped?
And I'm like, well, he wore diapers and he didn't have his diaper on. So I'm like, okay, nice. Oh God, now you have poop all over your butt. But no, he didn't poop.
Okay.
Just like, that's how I started my day.
Speaking of poop, if you are enjoying listening to this podcast, please reach down and hit that 5th star in the review and leave a review. While we're at it, where can we find you on Open the Doors? Are you on Instagram and some other things?
I am on Instagram and Twitter as Open the Doors KC.
Okay.
You can also find me on Facebook, Open the Doors Coaching. And you've mentioned my website a couple of times. I've got lots of stuff on my website, like links to my podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what's your podcast called?
Keep Them Coming with Open the Doors Coaching.
Keep Them Coming. Yeah. That's clever.
Yeah, I love double entendres. Did you not notice that my title was owner and head coach?
Oh, God.
Only the gays get that when I go to the LGBT chamber. They get a good chuckle out of that. You guys just went completely. Yeah. Or you're just being super professional. I don't know.
Yeah. That was me. Everything, when I enter the studio, there's a button and it says professional, and I don't just click it. I punch it and then sit down. So not true. People have asked so many questions about the podcast. They're like, oh, do you guys spend a lot of time preparing? I'm like, yes, 2 minutes. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, I sit down and I say, what do you want to talk about? What don't you want to talk about? And then we hit record.
Yeah. He always says he doesn't want to talk about how he is a head coach.
Yeah, I've done coaching. I mean, not that particular kind, but more in your head coaching. I don't know. I'm
sure as an entrepreneur and the leader of a startup, you absolutely have to do some coaching.
I actively mentor some people too. Like that's something that I think is important. And I've got a couple, like, well, Andrew Morgans is mm-hmm. one of them. And
you know Andrew?
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's like a real thing. Like mm-hmm. it's defined between us. I'm like, it's cool. Not like, and I try, because I think that by teaching, you learn. And absolutely. I also feel that it's greedy. Like, I've had a lot of people give me knowledge, and I think knowledge is not meant to be kept. So there's something powerful about knowledge transfer in a couple of different ways. And I think that's what you're doing with your business. And, you know, like some of that, all right, so look, we've been, you know, Matt, you've had some relationship changes, and, you know, I've talked with him or whoever, or like whatever, like mm-hmm. it all wraps in. It's personal, professional, and physical. That's your whole entire being. And you know, if one of them is way off kilter, it fucks up the other two badly. I mean, I literally wrote a book about this, and it matters, because if you do it too much work, what's going to kill your relationship? And I would imagine that's a problem you deal with a lot of people, is that part of it. That's
the
problem
said,
I have.
I'll be honest, I'm probably one of those people that hates to be single.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think it really bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I don't know. You talk just about the balance of things. Like, I don't know. Something about being single really bothers me.
I enjoyed being single, and at the same time,
maybe because
I
just never been.
Yeah. Right. I was about to ask, like, you know, you had been with her for what, 15 years, 16 years?
Yeah,
you said?
16 years.
Yeah. And then before that, were you in long-term relationships before her?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've never experienced the, like, singlehood
no not
during
for a long period
your
of time,
adulthood
no.
so
nope Maybe I never will.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Never know.
Okay,
I need to get some coaching.
Being single when you're in your 30s can be really liberating.
I need to be.
It was,
I need to be
coached. By the way, it was for me. I do, Kristen, that's a really good point. And I think it's okay to be single. Like,
absolutely.
And one of the things, so like I said, I've tried to just, I don't know, if I'm interested in someone's well-being, I want to talk to them about it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that are coming out of relationships, it's interesting the insecurities they have. Like,
right.
It's, but women,
they've never been autonomous.
They're different with women
and
men.
They thought they were autonomous, but they weren't.
Women will be like, well, I don't want to go eat by myself. And, you know, and because they're like, they think everyone's looking at them and like, oh my God, who's the woman over there eating by themselves? And, you know, I tell people, I say, look, you need to keep in mind that people are so selfish and self-absorbed. They don't even notice what
they
the fuck
you
are
attention.
Doing. They are not paying attention.
No.
They
yeah.
look
if
at you.
If they're worried about that, that's their problem to begin with.
You well, but dude, that's things. A big thing. Everything about your
who gives a shit what people think about you? That's
true.
Kind of my thing.
I get it. But
I mean, I'll sit at a bar and eat by myself. I'll sit at a table and eat by
myself.
I
will too, and it doesn't bother me. Yeah. Some of that was really also perfected when I traveled for
same
work.
Same here.
Because I
was that
just
was what
on
I was
the
about
road.
To say.
Yeah,
like, I had no choice.
Right. Yeah. So I just got used to it. And then honestly, I just didn't care.
And dude, I made a lot of friends on the road or just had really interesting conversations when I was sitting at a bar.
I would have
eaten my meal by myself.
If I was traveling and I ran into a head coach, I would have continued to have an interesting conversation as well. What?
I'm sure
you're dressed like a head coach.
I'm sure that head coach would give you a lot of great lessons.
Let's not cheapen the service because it's but I really, you know, honestly, Chris, I'm not just saying this. I really do believe that what you do is meaningful. And I think it's important. And I think that there's a lot of people that probably find a huge amount of utility with this. Like, I'm probably going to send you like 50 referrals.
Please do.
Like
Thank
I said,
you.
I'm going to do that because, and okay. So what you're doing is a niche iteration of personal coaching. I mean, it is
life
technically
coaching, yeah.
life mm-hmm. coaching, which is also a very broad thing. But if you can fix the insecurities that you have about yourself and just feel a little bit better, it can have a profound effect on like everything you do from work to whatever.
Absolutely. And sometimes, especially when it comes to sex, it's about helping people just feel really comfortable and confident in knowing what they like and what they want and knowing that it's normal.
And that was a perfect segue because I wanted, let's talk about sex, baby. I just saw
Salt and Pepper.
Yeah.
I love Salt and Pepper.
Yeah. I'll post that online because I do have a nice shot of, it just says on the backdrop, let's talk about sex.
Yeah. You sent me that.
Yes. There was a reason.
I
will not post your reply.
At online. Networking events, I usually wear two buttons, one that says got condoms and one that says penis and vagina are not bad words. And I keep a case in my purse with condoms at all times because people will sing that song to me and I'll go like, yeah, sure, let's talk about sex. And they'll go like, we got any condoms in your purse? I'm like, yes, do you need them?
Wow.
Of all colors and shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm. Even got a flavored
How
one
many
in there.
Different
flavors.
Shapes of condoms are there, Matt?
Well, there's female condoms,
yeah.
there's male condoms,
I
there's
see.
Dental dams.
I
there's...
see. So I stand corrected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Small ones, big ones.
Mm-hmm. Latex, polyisoprene,
yeah.
lambskin.
See?
Once again, Boom. If you see me, if you see me taking notes, it's for the show notes. I know, I stand corrected. But for real, we got to say, I mean, you always save the encore for the last. I mean, everyone wanted to talk about sex. It's something that apparently as a man I'm thinking about like every 4 seconds.
Hey, we think about it a lot during the day too, more than you realize.
Right. And mm-hmm. While normally we encourage, so I encourage people professionally never to talk about religion, politics, or sex at work, but we get to talk about sex at work today.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like I said, back to the, you know, here we got the bases loaded. We've got all these different shapes of condoms now. We've got an amazing dating profile.
Dump them out on the table right
now.
Make it rain.
I really could.
Dude, where's
Only
the
money? Had...
Okay, first
okay,
off, where's
gun.
The money gun?
I
have
need
a money
a condom
gun.
Gun.
Have you seen the money
I
gun?
I saw the money
okay.
gun.
Okay, the money gun also shoots mixtape cards, which we can't let her out of here without playing mixtape.
Awesome.
Be a good one. I got to find a good card first. I mean, they're all good cards. And if you go to mixtapethegame.com, you can buy a copy of it. Let's just play it. What song plays while you stand on the bow of the Titanic with your new love? And it better not be My Heart Goes On by Celine Dion. I'm going back to my mainstay. I'm going with Fuck You by CeeLo Green.
Worship Me by Lizzo.
I'm going with Let's Talk About Sex.
I'm not allowed to pick Fuck You by CeeLo Green. No, what song plays while you stand on the bow of the Titanic with your new love?
Yeah, let's talk about sex, baby.
What if I wanted that answer?
It's too late.
Yeah, I don't even know, man. This is the problem my wife has. She's like, "You're not a romantic." I'm like, "What? You don't listen to me." Wait, did you say something? As far as a love song, there's just so many that come to mind, and I think about my wife the whole time. What would I pick?
Doesn't have to be a romantic song. Just said what song?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going with "Fuck You" by Sia. Yeah. So now, according to the rules of mixtape,
and what was your song again?
"Worship Me" by Lizzo.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know Lizzo? You gotta introduce yourselves to Lizzo.
Okay,
by the way, I think they're coming to town.
She is coming to town. And yes, I'll tell you what. June.
And you can go to the Full Scale Suite and see them because they're here really soon. Yeah. Yes.
I love her so much.
But there's someone else. There's two people.
There's like three or four artists with her.
Okay. Yeah. So back to not voting for Watson.
I'm voting for her.
Okay. Well, I will too.
I don't even know the song, but
I know. I'm going to vote for her. Well, she's better looking than you. And I don't like it when you win.
I look better now. She improved me.
That's because she's sitting next to you, dude.
You look better by proximity.
So anyway, congratulations. You are the winner of this version of mixtape.
Right.
Why does "Fuck You" by CeeLo Green work on some level for every answer? That's a flaw.
It works with your wife, evidently. On the Titanic.
Wait, this didn't say wife. It said new love.
Yeah, okay. Just kidding.
Okay. So, well, anyway, we were talking about sex.
Uh-huh, yes.
So how do you coach someone on sex? Because like that's
so gotta, many different
ways. I was going to say, that's got to be really challenging.
Well, I can give you some examples.
Yeah.
Please. We would love some examples.
Okay. So,
by the way, normally we would end a podcast episode at this length, but I think that we're talking about.
We should keep it coming.
Yes, you should keep it coming.
Yes, and not make it quick because that's probably one of the things.
Quickies can be fun, but if you want some more.
But not when they're unwanted.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So an example.
We're entering overtime, people. All right, go ahead.
One of my clients, she was getting a divorce, and she was talking about how she felt like things were just broken down there. She wasn't getting turned on. She had no libido whatsoever. And I was like, baby, I don't think that you're broken. I think that you hate your husband because he's a piece of shit, and you're divorcing him like you should. But it's not broken. You have nothing left for him. So once his energy's gone and he's out of the house and you're on your own, like things are going to start changing.
She's mentally
for you.
Out of it.
Are those the words that came out of your mouth to your client?
Yes.
Thank you. That's because that's the delivery some people need to hear. That might be the difference between what you do and maybe what a quote therapist does. Because a therapist is not going to say that.
No. That's. Yeah. I mean, somewhat unethical. You know, what I can do is be a little bit more directive with people.
That's good.
You know,
sometimes, dude, people need to hear the truth, man.
We talked about how those feelings would start returning, and then she comes, she said, oh my god, I kind of saw a guy at the grocery store and I
was
felt
it
turned on. Might have been.
Yeah,
she does like white guys. So
Matt, you are definitely
really white.
Like, you are really white guys. congratulations.
What we had to work through was a masturbation plan. Because she wasn't taking care of her.
We are just
her own
there's so many
life.
Firsts on this episode. And by the way, we really don't have a length. I'm just saying, like, is that a bad time to use the word length?
Everything seems like a dirty joke.
Of course, he does not have a length
when you're talking to a sex coach. We worked through a masturbation plan and helped her get to the point where she went from describing herself as being like the Sahara Desert to describing herself as being like Niagara Falls. Her libido has returned. She's masturbating two or three times a day.
Time out. So
it took about a year.
Okay. Yeah. That is a plan. Right? Wow. What does a masturbation plan include?
Think about this.
And I am taking notes this time, people. If you're watching, I am writing this shit down.
When you want to go run a marathon, you don't go out and run 26 miles your first time running, right?
Is
you got to have a plan to build up
me?
To that. Okay. So just like with sex, if you've not been doing anything, if you've not been having intercourse with a partner, you've not been masturbating, all those neurotransmitters that your body produces when you have an orgasm, they're not flowing through your system anymore. You've got to jumpstart that system, get those neurotransmitters like dopamine, endorphins, norepinephrine, oxytocin flowing through your body again.
Wow.
And then your body starts craving those things again. So as you start creating a routine, that routine starts changing those neurotransmitters. Your body's receptors start wanting those more often. And that's what gets your libido jump-started again.
Wow. Man,
it's good to have a plan.
Yeah. But but haven't we openly admitted that we weren't great business planners ourselves?
I just say jump and build wings.
You jump and build wings. So, okay.
So once the plan is in place and you've created a routine, I'm literally writing on the notes here how to create a
masturbation.
Jump in bed and build wings. Is that what you're...
I even took her
to Cirilla's. We went shopping for a new toy.
Wow. Is that part of some of the services?
I've done that with a few clients. Yes.
By the way, and that's a good thing because sometimes people just need someone to feel brave enough to go to a place like that, right?
I've pulled up websites to show clients. Like one client, he was not into masturbating. It was more just because he'd never really done it because he was getting that messaging about how it's bad, it's dirty, you're not supposed to do it. Well, I'm like, you're in your late 20s now. It's time to work past some of that negative messaging because it is a part of sexual health is masturbation. So I hopped on a website and helped him find like a masturbation sleeve. So remember those little squishy toys in like probably when we were in middle school ish. It's like a tube that turns into itself. It's filled with liquid.
Yeah.
There's versions of that you can use for masturbation.
Wow.
And they feel fantastic. Or there's fleshlights.
Interesting.
This is the greatest episode of Startup Hustle ever. I mean, it might be because it's, but by the way, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And by the way, it is my birthday in 3 weeks. So,
oh dude, trust me.
He needs a fleshlight.
That's what I've run out of paper over here of all the things I'm going to buy you. And since we're going to talk about them later on the podcast, so I can expense them and not have to.
Okay.
Because I'm not.
Oh, I totally expensed a very expensive vibrator because for school last year, I needed to try and review a sex toy for like a module for school. So I bought a magic wand rechargeable because those things are fucking expensive and I wanted to be able to write it off my taxes.
Yeah. I mean, what have you been writing off, dude? You looking at me weird.
No, nothing.
All right.
I was trying to figure out if I should ask her a follow-up question about that. Side note.
Did you actually, you had restraint when it came to comments like that? To give you,
you don't have to filter.
I know, but to give you an example, we once did a episode on, we can just lay it out this one. I mean, what the fuck are we, who are we going to offend? It? I mean,
at this point.
We're all in. That's fine. But we had an episode about business acronyms.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we did.
And I thought I was going to have to actually edit that one maybe.
It was good.
Like DSL.
ATM.
And just stuff like that. And
DP.
Like, yeah. I was like, dude. Okay.
I loved your version of ATM was the best.
Anytime money?
Anytime money.
I really thought that's what it meant. Like, hey, you know, I don't know. It's true. Okay. So, wow. Sex coaching, we didn't ask this. What percentage of you said your clients are largely women, but
mostly
I heard a he.
Yeah, I have plenty of male clients too.
I mean, is it like two-thirds women?
Two-thirds women, a third men, yeah.
Okay.
And I would say it's, at this point, 80% singles, 20% couples.
Okay, so I didn't ask this earlier, like what are three common things that a man and then a woman will seek your help for? Like, what are the most popular problems that you solve?
We jumped
right in the beginning. We started talking about sex and dating apps and then it was over.
Yeah, you got really excited.
Well, hey, you know, well, as far as my right now, my ideal clients, especially for men, it's the guys who are post-relationship. You know, a lot of them are really cognizant of what they've done wrong or what brought them to that point. Mm-hmm. They're wanting to not make those same mistakes, whether it's choosing a partner that doesn't really match their needs or settling or just they were kind of a jerk. You know, there's been a lot of variety, but it's been mostly about wanting to do things better, wanting to do things differently this time around.
Okay.
So, sometimes it's a lack of knowledge, literally.
Like being in your late 20s.
Being in your late 20s and not knowing how babies are made. Yeah.
Wow. Is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like thinking you know how it is, but then once a sex coach explains it to you and you're like, oh yeah, I didn't know. Like, yeah, there was, yeah.
The man.
It's an interesting story about how I came about figuring out that he didn't know how babies were made. But I mean, yeah, he had been so incredibly sheltered.
Is that what we should title this episode?
He had been so incredibly sheltered. How babies are made. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm titling this one Sex Coaching, and it's going to probably be at the top of Apple everything because it will definitely
trend.
Get looked. I have a feeling this could become one of our more popular episodes. Ooh, I mean, based on the title and the subject, and why not? And I think that there's probably people that would need sex coaching, and there's probably people that would want to be it.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that need relationship coaching.
Right.
I definitely need some relationship coaching. So,
yeah. So,
I'm here for you, buddy.
With women, it is more like, again, it's been a lot of post-relationship women. And it's been about either not feeling like they have a libido, like the libido tanked because the relationship was tanking or whatever. Or a lot of women who are post-relationship and they were in like a very long-term relationship, like one that she was married for 25 years and he was her first. You know, not only has dating significantly changed about how you go about in this world finding people, but she doesn't know what she doesn't know about sex because she's only been with one person. Bless her heart. She said he never went down on her ever, ever, ever. I was like, oh, I'm going to help you have your first time.
Is there anything that we didn't say on this podcast? I mean, have we left anything out? Because now I want to make sure, because we're talking about orgasms and masturbation. And so I feel like an important part of this episode is that we reach completion in checking all the things off on the list. And look, because this really, I really do find this to be meaningful.
You're trying to climax?
No, that was that. We did that a while. Do you see what I deal with here? Do you offer podcast relationship help? Do you know that we've talked about this before?
Would you like to have me here as just kind of the third wheel?
You are not a third wheel. You are not a third wheel. You are a driving force, Miss Thomas. You talk about the different types of niche coaching. And so Matt and I are married through a business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have an easier, I wrote this in a book at one point. You got to pick your partners wisely. And I've made this mistake before because it's easier to get rid of your wife than it is your business partner.
Probably cheaper too.
It depends. Yeah. It depends. But the point is like that has, and that was one of your qualifiers. But okay. So like I said, once again, go to openthedoorscoaching.com. Tell us the name of your podcast again.
Keep them coming with Open the Doors Coaching.
I knew that. She just says it better. And also, you are Open the Doors KC on Instagram and Facebook.
And Twitter.
And Twitter. Yep. And stuff like that. So as we kind of wrap this up, and I'm asking for a friend, what are three ways that what are three things a man can do to make themselves appear more attractive to a woman and the other way around? I feel like that's pretty valid because I think that both sexes suck at it.
Okay.
Do you agree?
These days, I think it takes such little effort to stand out from the crowd. It's pathetic.
But that's more of the reason to pay attention right now.
Right.
So
start making some of those things that those efforts that everyone else used to make that like your parents or your grandparents made. So things like dress nice, especially for a date. Get a haircut, shave, whatever. Smell good. Take a shower. Clean shoes, clean undies, whatevs. Just look nice. Look appropriate. When it comes to dates, I've been saying to a lot of people lately, bars are fine. Going out for a cocktail is fine, but that's what everyone has been doing. So these days, if you do something different, especially with all the activities that are available around here, you're going to stand out just because you're not just taking them out to sit at a crowded bar and have a conversation. Go axe throwing, go to a soccer game, go to a concert, go for a walk at the Nelson, do something that's more active or interactive.
I feel like most women would be really impressed if you sat them down and binge listened to the Startup Hustle.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I disagree, but.
You're not going to know until you try. You never know. I know there are some female entrepreneurs out there that may really like that. And do you know that Watson's voice has dropped like three octaves since we started doing this?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. It's actually true. Yeah.
It's like when you start listening to yourself, you start practicing how to sound better on.
How to sound sexy.
It was probably once Bob Fesco came by and he heard Bob's voice. And we were like, dude, because it was.
Well, and you have a very deep voice, so I could see, you know, you kind of mimic people that you're around, you know, it's that mirroring.
You were trying to be like me?
No, yeah.
Totally.
No, yeah, yeah. That's but, a Midwest thing. No, yeah.
I've never heard you say no, yeah, though. Have you?
No, yeah.
Yeah, no. No.
What does that even mean?
Yeah, no.
Okay, so we want to choose great activities. We want to deal with our personal appearance. We want to dress nice.
Well, make some reservations, too. Like, just be proactive and make a reservation. That'll impress a lady.
Yeah.
Actually have a plan. So much of this is about planning. Yeah. So much of this is about planning. So what are three things that all right, let's all weigh in on this. What's something you could do that is guaranteed to just make someone say, fuck no?
Like my personal?
Sure.
I have a few things that are a big no. Yeah.
Well, all right. Smoking.
Yeah.
Is gross. Right.
So that's on my list.
So I recently quit smoking because I knew it was something that was holding me back from some people dating me.
And
so,
it's gross.
Yeah. It was gross.
And it's better for you
to not do it. I fought that habit for a long time, but I started young and it
for
got
me,
to me.
For
so,
me
but I quit in early this year.
I understand that people have insecurities, but when people are just overwhelming, like when they won't shut the fuck up about them, mm-hmm. like that is a non-starter. That was always a non-starter for me. Like, I get it. We all have insecurities, but some people
lack
are just,
confidence.
Well, they're just whiny about it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, like every time they're like, talking, they're like, I know I look like shit. I'm like, I just don't like for me, it's negativity.
Self-deprecation is a big no for me. Like if you're really hard on yourself and you're saying right. things like that, like, yeah. oh, I know I'm not attractive. Like, now I don't find you attractive because you have no confidence about yourself.
Yeah.
I don't like people that make fun of themselves.
What else you got on your list?
Well, anybody that's anti-LGBTQIA because of what I do a lot of work with that community. And I'm an ambassador with the Gay and Lesbian Chamber. So yeah, being a hater on anyone specifically just because they're different from
you.
I'm not a fan of people that are
overly political or overly religious. Like if I'm dating, mm-hmm. I don't care about in life if you want to. Probably I can spend a lot of time around you, but mm-hmm. do whatever you want to do. But that's not something like my wife and I, we never talk about that.
Yeah.
We are not in the politics, current events.
Yeah, I personally religion. Wouldn't date a churchgoer. It's fine yeah. for people that do that.
Matt's
but
going
just
to
not
from his
thing.
New profile that I signed you up for.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to even, I'll tell you what, I'll even pay for it.
I'm excited to see what you come up with.
Do you want
line
me to
line up some dates? Yeah.
I'm not going to catfish someone on Christian Mingle for you, Watson. Like,
come on.
I mean, I get it. Well, it's mainly because I'm busy.
Maybe
it's
maybe
not, that I'm,
have
it's,
a life.
It's not yeah. that I'm not interested yeah. in doing that.
What about the farm animals? You promised me farm animals.
Okay, dude. When did I ever promise you?
You said farm animals.
Oh, you're right. I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me put some context around uh-huh. that because during the sex coaching episode, that sounds weird. So we were talking the other day about all right. You guys watch Tosh.0? You ever did?
I have. Yes.
Okay. So on Tosh, he's got this thing about doing things that clearly just kind of make you uncomfortable and make you wonder. So I at one point I would even sometimes make comments and make people wonder like, what? But with my married friends, when they invite me to a birthday party or something, they'd be like, hey, my kid's birthday party's in 3 weeks on Saturday. You're coming. And I'll be like, yeah, cool. I'm going to ask your wife a question because about something, and I'll leave it, and then I'll send a message to be like, what's your neighborhood's policy on livestock?
Uh-huh.
Or just something like that, and then wait for the answer, but not really go like, do your kids like petting zoos? Because like for a wife, the worst thing in the world is like, oh my, is this motherfucker going to show up with a petting zoo? Like, or something like that. So there was always questions. That's the farm animal context on that. So,
gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha. Another deal breaker for me, people who lack respect, if they're not respectful to me or to people around them.
Yeah, no, I think some age old relationship advice or like knowing things about people in general is the way that people treat others is how they're eventually going to treat you.
Yeah.
So are we allowed to talk about how much you charge for your services or what is that taboo? I think some people would be wondering.
I'm happy to talk about what my current service rates are. Yes.
Well, and I say that and I don't want to make that uncomfortable or anything,
no, that's fine.
I think that I would imagine that, but. How can you put a price on happiness?
It's invaluable.
Yeah. By the way, Matt, you earned 12 points today for the episode. We're trying to gamify the podcast for Matt.
Yeah,
we don't even know what these points are worth. Yesterday, he made the mistake of cashing them in for that green egg. And who knows? We may even air this one before that other one, but who knows?
You know, it's kind of made of silicone and stuff.
Oh, Jesus. What have I done? So
I was up until 2 a.m. recording a podcast in my closet, and I talked a lot about silicone. So you might have to check that out.
Is your podcast just you?
Every week I do an interview and then a mini cast. So I do 2 episodes a week.
Okay. All right.
So my interview is usually around an hour long, and then my mini cast is 15 to 20 minutes of me just answering questions or talking about a topic.
So I'll go ahead and wrap all this up for everyone. Man, this was, will you come back sometime?
Absolutely.
I want to talk about this some more. I feel like this, I came into this so unprepared. I did not have a plan. So anyway, once again, Kristen, thank you for coming by. OpenTheDoorsCoaching.com. Check her out on Instagram at OpenTheDoorsKC. I feel like all the other handles were the same. Mm-hmm. You're on the Twitters, the Facebooks, yep. All that other stuff. Check out the Startup Hustle Podcast. We are at Startup Hustle Podcast on Instagram.
If you go to my website, you can sign up for my newsletter. I send out 2 newsletters regularly. One is Safe for Work. One is Not Safe for Work. Oh. And that Not Safe for Work email list.
If you work here, everything's safe for work. Perfect. Apparently.
Yeah, sign up with your personal email address on my Not Safe for Work email list. It's called The Dirty Bird. Because if you saw my logo, it's 3 little birds.
Gotcha.
Oh, man. Yeah. See you guys next time.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Startup Hustle with Matt DeCourcy and Matt Watson. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit startuphustle.xyz. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please rate and subscribe. And we'll catch you next time on Startup Hustle.